All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Wednesday, October 25th. That is
James Davis.
And I'm Doug Norrie from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short here, to break down week 8 in the NFL cash game plays for FanDuel and DraftKings. And if you want a chance to get a hold on, what's going on with you, dude?
What's with the sluggish, random scar all over the place? Come on.
We're recording this an hour earlier than usual, and that is just enough to affect my overall brainwaves from my synapses from firing on all cylinders, which they're clearly not doing right now. DFSR.com/NBA gets you a free three-day trial to our projection system, optimal lineups for FanDuel, DraftKings. I'm like a car warming up in the winter, right? Like it's a little cold right now, but
gonna die basically is what we're going for right now. Come on, we're on the edge of our seat.
One of those new cars that takes 30 seconds to warm up. All right, dfsr.com/NBA free three-day trial, $29.95 a month after that. We have an interesting week here for cash game purposes, or really just for just lineups in general. We mentioned this briefly on our week 7 recap yesterday, and then I'm sure we'll get more into it when we break down every game on the slate every game on Sunday for our game-by-game breakdown for week 8. But this week, 6 teams are on a bye, plus you have a London game, plus DraftKings is sticking to the they don't want to play the evening game for Sunday. That's making the player pool, at least on DraftKings, pretty damn small. And we kind of talked about this a lot yesterday when we started writing up our cash plays, that they're really just, did it seem to you like there just weren't that many guys to pick? I mean, there just weren't, but did it seem like more than usual, there just weren't that many guys to pick from?
Yeah, I think that absolutely was the case. It was just, it almost feels like you're playing, especially when I was going through the wide receivers, like, it just felt like I could only list really expensive guys, and that everyone else had such huge question marks that I just didn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. And then I think that just from looking at it from a bird's eye view, at least, right, this is Wednesday morning and there's still time to go, obviously. I think you're just going to see pretty high ownerships in some of these guys, because it's very difficult to get away from some of them on both of the sites. And it's, like I said, especially on DraftKings, where that player pool is greatly diminished. All right, let's talk about quarterback first. Not a guy I thought I'd be writing up at this point in the season, but Carson Wentz has been awesome this year. And I really hate when we have a week where we write up one of the top players from the week before, because it looks like we're just kind of bandwagoning like certain stats. I mean, Wentz did fall in the Monday night game last week, so he really wasn't available. He's been excellent. There's really no other way around it. And I know he's coming off the big game against Washington, but has a great matchup here this week. Do you see Wentz as, like, could you see Wentz as being kind of just a chalkier play? Under 8,000 on FanDuel, 7,200 on DraftKings, so not real cheap, but the matchup, it really doesn't get better than the matchup.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we played Dak against San Francisco last week. Obviously, we're very happy with that result. Wentz has been kind of an interesting guy this season. So, you know, there were 2 weeks he kind of took off versus the Giants and the Chargers. And then other than that, he scored 20 points in every other single week. And that's just excellent. I mean, if you go up and down the big names that you recognize, you won't see a lot of guys with that kind of track record and resume. So you're certainly paying for it now. You know, 8,000 is basically what we're used to paying for the next best QBs after Tom Brady, essentially. But with Dak and Breeze becoming a little bit more expensive, I think Wentz is really nice in that next sort of category. So, yep, really like him here against San Francisco. And I do think, especially with the Monday night hype, people going crazy about that performance, and then San Francisco's bottom four defense in the league, that you should see pretty high ownership as well.
Yeah, Wentz, he leads the league in touchdowns, 17 touchdown passes, which is pretty crazy. He is right up there in rushing yards as well. He is third in rushing yards. Now, that would be, it's a little off because a couple of these guys that are ahead of him had bye weeks. So it's his rushing yards per game is a little lower, but I mean, just total yards, he's only behind Cam there. And he's not the most accurate passer, only 62%. My only concerns really here my really biggest concern is the blowout. Like, the Eagles are just content to run the ball times. They have just like a three-headed or four-headed times just running back monster. Nice. They are content to run the ball. They are content to just kind of run the clock out. There's a huge spread in this game, and whenever you get into this territory, you are concerned that the game is just over early and Wentz isn't asked to do much. And so from a cash game perspective, that's my only real concern with him, because other than that, He has wide receivers at his disposal, specifically Ertz. I mean, I know he's a tight end, but Ertz is like, you would put him in like the, you know, top wide receiver tight end one option in terms of just guys that he can throw to. Jeffrey's disappointed a little bit this season, but overall, he's been able to spread the ball. So I think all things being said, when you look at the small slate, that you are going to see, and really just looking at some of the other names and their matchups here, I think you do see Wentz as the chalk play. The other guy I wrote up here, and look, I wanted to put like this massive star or just like write a huge footnote. I wrote up Cam. Now, okay, follow me here. One, he's significantly below Wentz in the same price tier. Okay, so like this is the, again, fell into this trap. I forget what position we fell into this trap with last week, but it was like, we kind of just have a commitment to write up three guys at least.
Yeah, well, Dak and Russell Wilson. We had this exact same conversation.
Exactly. That was it. This is the same exact scenario for me here. Is that I begrudgingly wrote up Cam simply because I didn't want, I couldn't find a lot of other better reasons to write up any other guys, and Wentz was clearly in a tier by himself here in terms of cash games. Now, I think there are reasons to play Cam. One of them, he runs, and he's run a lot more this season than he has in the past. Like last year it really looked like they had an organizational philosophy to not allow him to run after coming off some of the injuries. He would stay in the pocket forever. I don't know if it was,
and then they realized he's just not that good, so who cares if he gets hurt, basically.
There's like, we have no chance if you don't kind of scramble, because like, they're right, the rest of our personnel just doesn't really allow for this, for you to be a pocket passer, neither does your accuracy. So he's 211 rushing yards this year. He leads all quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns, and he gets a Tampa Bay defense that's been really bad this year. Tampa Bay ranks last in DVOA, last in DVOA overall, and then also last against the pass. Like, they're slightly better against the run, but they're big. Their backward strides in defense come on the passing side. Do you think that's like enough? It's more tournament than cash, and I know this is called cash game articles or cash game plays, but do you think that's enough for you to like think about the upside on Cam in this situation like that?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. So Tampa Bay may rank last in a number of defensive categories, but Cam actually does rank last in the list of guys I want to see at the top of my lineups when I first click on them. So that's going to be an interesting tension in play there. I mean, yeah, for big tournaments, I think you can see it. I mean, it's worth noting, like, Cam has some crazy games here. So like, I love the game against New Orleans where like, he got the rushing touchdown. Like, if you just hear a quarterback had a rushing touchdown, you almost play them sight unseen, except for in this case, he had only 5 other fantasy points aside from that rushing touchdown, and 1.6 of those were rushing yards. I think Cam is pretty bad generally, but I do think the rushing yards matter more than most people realize, you know, and we've talked about this before, and it's nothing new, not breaking any new ground, but like in the Philly game, 71 yards and a touchdown on the ground, like, that's a reasonable running back game tacked on to admittedly terrible quarterback performance. So if you can get games like that, and it sure looks like the plan is to run him early and often now. You know, the lowest carries he's had in the last 4 weeks has been 7. So if you're going to get 7 to 9 carries out of him in a given game, it can make up for a lot of the other flaws that he has. And yeah, 1 touchdown and 5 interceptions in the last 2 games, it's not going to be pretty with Cam. But I think if you're just looking for raw upside, like, you had it against New England, right? I mean, he had 34 fantasy points. That's about as much as you can possibly expect from an $8,000 quarterback. So while he could be in the top overall lineups at the end of the week, my money is going with the more steady guys. But yeah, for sure. I mean, sure, you can make it. You can make a GPP case. You can make a better GPP case for him than, say, like Matt Ryan, you know, just because Ryan, I don't think, has quite the same upside. He's kind of just consistently mediocre. And you can say the same about a lot of quarterbacks.
And the running is why I chose him over like Phillip Rivers against New England, right? Like, this is like it's specifically this, the ability to get down on the ground that is always going to, I think our system is definitely always going to favor it over just like a purely pocket passer. Now Rivers has been slightly more, he's been more consistent this year, but it doesn't have the same upside as Cam. And so this was like, it was a hard choice. It was really just a Sophie's choice here. I didn't really want to choose anyone else in this thing in this tier and make it seem like I was comparing them to Wentz, because I do think Wentz is far and above it. But I think Cam has a big game, and I do like the matchup. The third guy I wrote up, and this is strictly a DraftKings play, was Andy Dalton. Dalton is another guy who is unspectacular, though some of his numbers make him look worse than he really is. So He's 50. Here's the case for him. He's 5,700 on DraftKings on a site where it really does pay at times to be able to save at quarterback if you can get guys in good matchups. We saw this last week. We saw like our right. system was defaulting toward Bortles, Brett Hundley, who's the third? Oh, Tyrod Taylor. You know, all three of these were cheap guys in good situations. And there are times on DraftKings where this strategy actually does make sense. We're saving here and being able to pay a premium on some of the just elite. Elite skill position guys does make sense. Dalton actually checks all the boxes for me for a cheap quarterback. He gets a great matchup against Indianapolis, whose defense is pretty awful. And Dalton's numbers this season, okay, how much do you want to weigh this in here? So if you look at Dalton's matchups this season, he has faced four of his six games have been against top 10 DVOA teams, Buffalo, Houston, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. And a couple of those are like top five Pittsburgh's number two, Baltimore's five, Houston's six, Buffalo's eight. So really actually four of his games have been against top eight DVOA teams. That's a pretty tough hill to sled, right? And so like if his overall numbers, so would you agree with me that maybe his overall numbers are trending a little lower just because he's faced arguably like one of the worst defensive schedules you can have for a quarterback this season?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I think that this really matters in football. Like based on a percentage basis of how much season has passed, you want to consider this more than you would, it's hard to wrap my mind around exactly how to phrase this. Based on how much of the season has passed, in other sports, you wouldn't like make strength of schedule complaints, right? Like if half of the season basically were gone in baseball, you wouldn't be like, but man, has he faced some tough pitching? Like that would sound kind of stupid because again, he played 80 games. Right. In the case of Dalton, he's played seven games. And in that case, strength of schedule can absolutely play a role. And we did see him put up some pretty big games, like against Cleveland, he was excellent. Against Green Bay and Buffalo, he was fine. I mean, on these prices, you would take it. And then he has some real stinkers as well. So I think there's still concerns with Dalton. I think that, you know, you don't just want to plug him in and assume that you're going to get like the 28 point game against Cleveland. But like we talked about with some of the guys last week, if you're going to pay these kind of bargain basement prices on DraftKings, the fact that that's even a remote possibility is going to put him a tier above some other players. So yeah, while again, it's not a name you're going to be super excited to see, the way that allows you to pay up at other spots, I think, kind of makes it worth it.
Yep, and that was it. It was the $5,700. I don't want to play him at all on FanDuel, so forget that. But the $5,700 really gives you pretty significant savings. You know, $1,700 off that top tier looks pretty good. And so the fact that he's had just a difficult schedule, he has a wide receiver one at his disposal. He does throw to the running backs at times. This really, I think I could end up seeing playing him. And the other thing too is Indianapolis has been, they, you know, kind of the same reason we mentioned Tampa Bay against Cam, or for Cam, Indianapolis 30th in overall in DVA, and you're really never going to see the Bengals with a 26 implied total going into this week, right? That's definitely got to be their highest of the season. And you know, that's Vegas saying that this team is going to they're coming off the bye and they're going to put up points against a very weak defense. So if I can grab that quarterback at 5,700 who is at least an NFL caliber quarterback, if not like, you know, not a top 15 quarterback overall. Actually, so many guys are hurt. Maybe he is top 15. I don't really know. But and a lot of these other quarterbacks, and we'll go to running back in a second. A lot of these other quarterbacks just have really bad matchups. Like Deshaun Watson against Seattle, it's hard to think about going there. Tyrod's price has come up. And then like, you know, Russell Wilson, Houston's a top 10 defense. Cousins against Dallas. Dallas has been really good on defense. So a lot of these guys are just not in great matchups. And I think that's where I kind of landed on some of these guys. Let's go to running back. I mean, this is week, how many weeks in a row just talking about Le'Veon Bell? I just kind of have run out of things to say. We talked a lot about it yesterday. Do you have anything new to say about Le'Veon Bell here? Is he too expensive? Is like the matchup not good enough? I mean,
no, not really. Yeah. I mean, I think he's fine. I think the matchup is fine. I think the fact that he's touching the ball so much more, and you know, I mentioned this in Antonio Brown's write-up actually as well, but the fact that he's just touching the ball so much more than every other running back, like 28 more touches than anybody else. That's totally
right. Then the next closest guy, 51 more than the guy in third place on the list. Like,
I mean, it's totally nuts. And the fact is, like, you're just, that's basically like he's played one whole extra game. a whole extra game by his standards, you know, not even by the standards of a normal running back, by like regular running backs, that's like 1.5 games. It's totally crazy. And And he's not bad, you know, like, so like Jordan Howard, for instance, has some games with huge touches and huge ushes, but the fact is that Chicago can't really support it. That's just not the case with Bell. So yeah, it's just crazy. He's probably too cheap up until like 10,000 because he's, again, getting 1.15 games compared to everybody else.
You don't get him on the DraftKings main slate, so that one kind of stinks. But I had I had to write him up. we just had to write these Pittsburgh guys up. They're just, their usage is so crazy, insane, that you just can't really ignore him. And on FanDuel, I just don't see why you're fading the opportunity to get 30 plus touches independent of how the game is going. Short of like, you know, like the Roethlisberger pick, the 11 picks that he threw or whatever against Jacksonville the one game or something like that, and Bell still saw a ton of touches in that game. And, you know, even when those things happen, game scripts like that are like the worst thing that can ever happen, obviously, for really an offense, right? Because, worst thing that can happen for a running back, because you get down early and now your team is just forced to throw. They were down so much early against a really good defense and a super slow team, and he still saw the ball 25 times. Like that, there's no scenario really that's going to happen that's going to be worse than what happened for him at Jacksonville. And 25 touches is even more because he was actually targeted more. So it's more like 28 touches total in the worst possible game script for running back. So I just don't see, if you think that's the basement in terms of his usage, then yeah, you're right. 10,000 or more is really just what his actual price should be, at least on FanDuel. I'm going to have to just play him 100% in cash games. Next guy up, Mark Ingram. You know, he's another guy we talked about on the recap yesterday. He's another guy trending toward that elite usage category here now that Adrian Peterson's not in the mix anymore. Saints are a big favorite here. Right now our system has 100% Ingram and Bell on FanDuel. I do not think that's going to change. And actually, I'm basically 100% on DraftKings on Ingram as well. Do you see him as just basically a lock for cash games?
Yeah, I think he's far too cheap. And I think that's basically just due to the fact that there were a lot of good running back options last week and his ownership percentage was relatively low. We've been trying to do a lot of theorizing around FanDuel's new algorithms right now. And I think actually one of the main factors is just how much people are playing them. I think people must have complained when there were 80% ownerships on guys. So prices are kind of fluctuating wildly right now. Ingram sort of flew under the radar and was excellent. And we have no reason to believe that he won't continue to be excellent. So, you compared him to the non-Bell elite usage category when you were writing him up, and I think that's probably about right. I think we see Ingram settle out at around an $8,000 player, and for me, that makes him sort of a mandatory play this week.
Yep, and especially on DraftKings too, where $7,400 is kind of a lot to pay for a running back, but he is in the situation that we're always the dream situation we're looking for with running backs is home favorite. That just seems to have over the long term has had the highest correlation with success in terms of just picking a running back. If you can have the guy, if you can have like sort of that bell cow guy on your team that just gets all the carries and playing at home, they're -9 favorites right now against a really bad Chicago team. 28.5 implied points right around there for the Saints. So I believe he's the highest home favorite running back who is like has a steady gig. Like the Eagles have a huge total, but you just really can't trust whatever they're going to throw out in the running game. Sort of the same thing with the Patriots. So from a high favorite running back that you just know is going to get the carries, Ingram is the guy. Third guy, I know you're not going to like to see this name, Joe Mixon.
Bart Hickson, Joe Mixon. That's what I'm talking about.
Joe Mixon, for me, it didn't feel great. And then the more I wrote about it, I kind of started feeling better. And it really actually for the same reasons that I started feeling better about Andy Dalton. When you look at Mixon's when you look at just sort of like the way the season has gone for the Bengals in terms of like who they had to play, the strength of the schedule, Mixon, at least on DraftKings at 4,700, I think he's an excellent DraftKings play, actually. Again, this is not a full week. There's a lot of guys missing and there's some bad matchups and there's just not that many games. But 4,700 for a guy who the team has kind of said that you're going to be the running back. He's done everything he can to just make it so that he can go back to the bench because like he's had trouble running on the ground, but they face really tough defenses. Like the top four, you know, the top eight DVOA defenses that we mentioned before apply to him as well. He catches balls out of the backfield and he's finally got a good matchup. And again, a big home favorite. Have I talked to you in the mix? And I know this is a guy that we've kind of been burned on in the past, but do you see a week, kind of maybe a breakout week coming for him?
Well, you know, It's a little hard to focus on whether I like Mixon this week because it just sounds a little bit too much like you're explaining away like an abusive girlfriend right now. It's like, well, that was just because she had a big final coming up and then, you know, her parents were in town, so she was really stressed. And, you know, then after that, like her roommate was really giving her a hard time. So like she was just kind of cranky that night. A lot of excuses on Mr. Mixon there, Doug, a guy who had 10 total touches last week against Pittsburgh. But I mean, there is a price to which we want to consider everyone, right? And I think that's something, you know, we try to hammer that home, you know, whenever possible, that we're not just comparing whether we actually like guys, like whether you'd start a guy in a season-long league. And I think some of the, you know, some of the bad feelings I get about guys like Mixon are just when you look at the performances in a vacuum, you compare them to, you know, you just try to compare them on an absolute sense rather than a relative sense. And I do think that's obviously pretty important. I think really fundamental here is just the split. And I think the thing that gives me the biggest concern about Mixon is the fact that he split his carries 50-50 with 7 for him and then 7 for their old two-headed monster in Bernard and Hill. And I think that gives me significant pause. I don't think I would feel great about projecting him for, I don't even know, 15 carries or something like that. Even that seems like, you know, that seems like the high end to me. I think probably something else would be more like the sweet spot. Although I will say the absolutely great matchup here would tip the scales enough to where I think where Mixon would wind up for me is if I loved all my other plays and I had to stomach Mixon to put him in the lineup, then I could do it. Like I wouldn't be like, hey, Doug, we have to start back on the drawing board because Mixon's showing up, you know, but I wouldn't prioritize him in any stretch.
Before last week where they fell down early, he outsnapped the other running back. So Gio Bernard was right with him in snaps. But I'm thinking that to me strikes me as more as they were just down early and Gio is just like a straight pass catching back and they just needed like they had to have that really in for the entire game. He was still like he had 22 snaps to 23. Those snaps had not been going that way or have not been trending that way up until last game, right? Like he had 15, 17, and 18 carries the 3 weeks before. And the game against Green Bay was when they had kind of come out and said he's going to have a more increased role. Like at the beginning of the season, it was, you know, we're kind of going to ride the hot hand or we'll kind of see how it goes. And then week 3, I think, is right when they had said, okay, no, we're going to turn, he's going to have more of a role. And they actually stayed pretty committed to it. He wasn't all that good. And those defenses, you know, Cleveland Cleveland and the Packers are not the defenses I was referring to when I said that they were playing the good defenses. So those things do not work out. It's really just the $4,700 and the fact that he can catch balls out of the backfield. And if there was a matchup where he could kind of turn it over here, I mean, I guess that was supposed to have been Cleveland too. It's not a perfect play by any means, but I do think when I look at the rest of this list and I know that I need to save money on DraftKings at some point, right? Like at some point, I'm just going to need to start saving on guys with realistic opportunity. Other running backs in his sort of price tier are guys like Cohen. I would definitely prioritize Mixon over Cohen. I mean, Jonathan Stewart's interesting. They still give him a lot of touches, but he doesn't do anything with him and he never catches a ball. And that's a real problem on DraftKings. You know, guys like Forte, that's too much of a split. Kamara is significantly more expensive. And then the list gets worse. Okay, well, actually, I have a question for you. Maybe we can talk more about this in the game by game breakdown. Would you rather have a guy like Mixon at 4,600 or Deion Lewis, who's seen increased usage over the last couple weeks at 47, or Lewis, who has carried the ball 13 and 11 times, had a few receptions here and there for the Patriots? Is there one of those guys in the same price tier that strike you as like kind of better than one better than the other?
No, I'd rather take Mixon over Deion Lewis. I think I've just been burned by the paths too much in that regard. And a lot of the Lewis stuff, even though he has put up reasonable fantasy totals, that actually looks even less sustainable than what Mixon's done. So I don't mind taking the guy in the better matchup for sure. I just don't know. It's just really hard for me to believe that I can count on Lewis in any sort of capacity. I just think that's not the Pats' plan at all. At least like with the Bengals, I know that if things are going well, somebody will get the carries, but I can't say that for the Patriots, and that's pretty terrifying for me.
And you're not like obligated to start a guy in this price tier, so that's not really what I'm saying. But I'm more just kind of looking around, like when I'm trying to look for savings on DraftKings, I'm just trying to say, you know, in certain price tiers, is there a guy that stands out above the rest of the crowd? And I think Mixon is that guy.
Don't play Lewis, by the way. I just wanted to zero back in on Lewis. He's got the same concerns as Mixon, but even worse. Like, so he had 13 carries against Atlanta in that game, Gillisley, Burkhead, and White had to combined have 18 carries. So they're just doing whatever they want over there as usual. And don't guess. Don't pick a winner, because what we also know about Mixon is at least he's a candidate for the goal line carries. Lewis is actually just not going to get the goal line carries no matter what. So I'm not playing Lewis for sure.
Heading over to wide receivers, another week again where it's just it's the Antonio Brown story again as well. Again, not offered on DraftKings, obviously, but for FanDuel at 9,200, really the only question here becomes, are you comfortable rostering 18.6 worth of salary for Bell and Brown? Like, are their roles so defined and so elite at this point that, putting in, what is that? That's 40% of your overall salary cap into two guys, that's a little less. Does it make sense just because these two guys just stand so far above the rest?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think that, it's tricky because I think sometimes people fall into this trap for cash games of being like, oh, running back and wide receiver from the same team. It's true that in big tournaments, that does limit some degree of your upside because, those guys don't score points alongside one another. They score points independently of one another. And, a lot of times the guys in the winning GPP lineups will just happen to punch in a couple goal line carries and get three touchdowns or, break off a 90-yard pass and then break off another 17-yard touchdown, whatever. And every time one player scores a touchdown, it means that somebody else did not score the touchdown. But in the case of Brown and Bell, the consistency in their performance in the non-touchdown category is just so dramatically better than everyone else. I mean, if you look at Brown's stats on the season, like we talked about how Bell, how much further ahead he was from the second place guys this season, so let me just read you a stat line. 7 catches on 16 targets and 220 yards. That would be an incredible game. That is, each of those categories is how far ahead he is from the second place guy. So he's gotten 16 more targets than everyone, 7 more catches than everyone, and 220 more receiving yards than the second place finisher. And that's just picking the top guy in each of those categories. That's not even the same guy, So he's basically, again, like an extra game and a half, 2 games ahead of the combined second place in the rest of the league. It's totally ridiculous. And the price on him is also extremely low. So you're comparing him to a guy like Julio Jones. And I think this week, Doug, if Julio comes out with a higher projection than Antonio Brown, I might just place a huge prop bet. I might just not play DFS. I might just place that bet instead, because every indicator that I can find just shows Brown as being decidedly safer than Julio Jones. And they're roughly the same price this week. Brown's 500 more. I think that, again, you can't play them. You can't play Brown on DraftKings, so that's not a decision you're making there. But for my money on FanDuel, Brown is the clear-cut guy.
Yeah, no, I think it's obvious. I think, he has all the same reasons that we love Bell as we love Brown. They just have the two guys on the team. There's the only two guys they want to use. And, rightfully they should. They're just so much better than the rest of the field. Let's go on to some of these other wide receivers here where, at least on FanDuel, we're going to be making some closer decisions. You mentioned Julio. He's been a guy that we've been pretty low on, and mostly correctly for most of the season. Our system's just not been high on him. We've gone week after week of just seeing him as, some type of a popular play and then kind of flaming out. Finally, actually figures it out last week, or what? I don't know if it was him figuring it out, or if their offensive scheme, where they're just kind of working with this new offensive coordinator, and he just hasn't been getting him as involved. They do kind of sit him at times on different drives, which is weird to see him run off the field, even in passing down sets. And because the only reason you notice it is because the camera focuses on it, because he's such a public football player here at this point. But are you willing to trust it now? He saw the targets last week, turned it into a pretty good game, 9 for 90 something and a touchdown. Does Jones, with Brown off of at least the DraftKings slate, do you see Jones as the clear wide receiver one here?
I think so. I mean, he's healthy now. I think that's actually what was holding him back a little bit. Health is always a concern with Jones, at least in the last few seasons. And I think given that he's healthy, given that the matchup is pretty solid with the Jets have actually been pretty good on a yards per attempt basis this season. But I think against wide receiver ones, they look a little bit worse than that. So I do like Jones. 13 targets was his best overall for the season. It is obviously troubling that he only had 4 and 7 targets against Miami and Buffalo there. But I think that if you're looking to pay up a wide receiver, he's the guy on DraftKings for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And we can talk about this on the wide receiver breakdown. I'd actually throw in, I wouldn't even mind stacking him with Sanu at times for cash. Oh, yeah. Sanu had 10 targets. Ryan has kind of made him more of just the primary secondary option, I guess you would say. The top secondary option. They did spread the ball around a lot more last year. That has not been the case as much. Sanu has received pretty decent target share when he's played. He has sat out a week or two already this season. So I would throw him in there as like maybe a hedge against Julio if you wanted to. That's at least where some of our lineups are going right now. The other guy in this list in terms of the volatility, no one has been more volatile than Amari Cooper so far this year. He's had the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. 7,200 on FanDuel, so the price hasn't moved. He had like a sort of a transcendent performance last week against Kansas City. Price doesn't come up all that much, only 7,200, and then 6,600 on DraftKings. It's one game. He's basically had two good games on his resume for the season, and a bunch of just absolutely terrible games. Was last week's performance enough to sway you into thinking that he could be safer going forward?
I think so. I mean, obviously the receiving yards, it was more yards in that game than he had had up to that point in the season. You're not going to count on him for 210 receiving yards. Generally, we want to look for more consistency, but I think there really is, I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, but I think there really is something different about, you know, going 11 for 19 for 210 and two touchdowns versus like, you know, 7 for 9 for 210 yards and two touchdowns, right? Like, I think that the fact that the team focused on him on 19 of their offensive plays shows me that there was some discussion in the locker room. Amari's not happy. We need to get Amari more involved. Throw Amari the damn ball and let's see what happens. Right. And the fact that he produced on it leads me to believe that they'll go back to that same plan again. Now, it might not be 19 targets, but even if it's like 11, it's the price is way too low on him. You know, 7,200 is what we're used to paying for guys, you know, kind of in like the Jarvis Landry sort of tier where it's like, yeah, he might get 11 targets, but they're all going to be for 6 yards. Cooper has at least the potential to blend high targets with a ton of yards per catch. And yeah, it doesn't always work out and the team can get frustrated or give up on it or whatever. And that's what we saw earlier this season. But you don't get 19 targets by accident. You don't get that because you happen to be open on 19 plays. You get that because your team decided. And ultimately in football, it's at the whim of the team. The team decides who gets the ball. And I really think that's a positive sign for him going forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, you know, we talked about this yesterday too, but they lined him more out of the slot. They were moving him around more. If they're going to make him more of just like sort of like that possession-y guy, more than in the past, it's been kind of huck it up and see if he can come down with it, like deep downfield. If he's going to be just more of like splitting some of that possession receiver stuff with Crabtree here, then I think that, yeah, the price specifically on FanDuel, which is that 7,200 price, is kind of in the sweet spot of times where we're looking for in terms of wide receivers if we know they're going to be getting high targets. Like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald has fit that before. Landry has fit that before. Typically, we are looking for guys in this tier because it kind of does help round out some lineups. Keenan Allen fits that as well. Keenan Allen, 7,800. Okay, so Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper. Yeah, you're going to be hard pressed to play both of them, I think, because especially if you're rostering Bell on FanDuel, Allen is 600 more. Do you trust Allen's week to week consistency on targets or the Cooper's like sort of breakout performance, you know, judging that they're right around the same tier?
I think if you're playing for cash games, you just have to play Cooper because his ownership is going to be so much higher and he's a little cheaper too. So I think like those factors taken together would want me leaning in that direction. I think though, if you're just looking for, like if you were taking a no halftime challenge, Doug, maybe we can talk no halftime in a second.
Yeah.
If you were taking a no halftime challenge on these guys, I think maybe you would just go with Allen because on average, he's going to outperform Cooper, I think, going forward. And if you don't have to worry about prices, then I think it's pretty solid as well. What I really like about Allen is two things. I think, first of all, he's running really bad on touchdowns this season. Just the sheer target share he's getting. I mean, averaging double-digit targets for almost the whole season, I think, or if he's not at double digits, it's like just a hair below it. Tied for second in the NFL in terms of targets. He was bad last week against Denver, but everyone's bad against Denver. And he's going up against the Patriots this week, who have allowed the most passing yards overall. And we've seen some guys, like if you just click on a few of these guys and try to find their biggest games of the season, there's no shortage of wide receiver ones who have had their biggest game against the Pats this year. So Julio, you know, just had his most targeted week. Oh, geez, I was looking at someone else 2 seconds ago that had the same stats. But nonetheless, I think Allen's due for a bounce back. It kind of stinks that we have to pay the most for his bounce back week, but I guess that's just FanDuel adjusting for the matchup with New England. So smart on their part, but I think he's still totally playable here.
Yeah, no, we mentioned this with Alton, these guys. He has run pretty bad with the schedule. Now, he's had really difficult conversion problems this season. Like, his conversion rate on the targets is really low. That is something of an issue. It strikes me more as they've really forced the ball to him at times. Like, he's already drawn Denver twice. He drew Janoris Jenkins once, Marcus Peters once, and he had some other bad cornerback matchup, I think, kind of thrown in there. So he's drawn some pretty bad cornerback matchups, but I am a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about the conversion rate, but again, yeah, like you said, New England is about as good as you can get. All right, tell us about No Halftime, and we'll kind of finish this off with tight ends.
Yeah, right on. So No Halftime is a great app for people who love daily fantasy sports but don't really love the salary cap format. It's actually a really revolutionary product where you go in and basically you just pick one guy you're really high on this week, and then you can create challenges that you think other people will take. Maybe the public perception on one guy, like, so for instance, this week you can 100% get your Keenan Allen versus Amari Cooper challenge accepted. I think it's a good one, frankly, too. So yeah, you go over there, you can issue challenges yourself. You can also just cruise through the hundreds and hundreds of challenges that they have available every week for football, and the ones they have available nightly for basketball as well. So go to nohalftime.com, download the app, use promo code DFSR, and you can get 50% bonus up to $50. So check them out and tell them we sent you.
At tight end, we can kind of finish this off here. I wrote up Zach Ertz as the top overall option because at this point, Ertz, for his price, he's still $1,100 less than Gronk. And I think that's on FanDuel, and he's something in that same range less on DraftKings as well. Now he's only $100 less on DraftKings. So you get a nice savings on Ertz on FanDuel. At what point do we, for tight end, we talked about this a couple weeks, is prioritizing the safety over just the carousel of, we're not sure, you know, being a team's fourth option? Ertz is the Eagles' first option on offense in terms of passing. Really any other guy, including Gronk, actually, because Gronk is not, I don't even believe Gronk leads the team in targets this season. Really every other guy on the tight end.
Been the most targeted Patriot in the last 4 weeks.
Right. Yeah. So, and I think Hogan, is out targeted Gronk as well. So, but Ertz, that's not the case for Ertz. At what point do we prioritize that over guy, basically every other guy on the list who is at best their team's second option, and for most of them significantly below that?
I would love to play Ertz this week. That's all I really have to say about that. If I can play Ertz, I would be happy to. The issue of paying up a tight end always is it's this relative question again, where oftentimes the tight ends in the 5,000s are actually better than the receivers in the 5,000s and the running backs in the 5,000s. So, you know, if I could pay up for Ertz at 7,300 and take, you know, like if I felt better about Mohamed Sanu, say, at wide receiver, then I could do that. I just don't know that you're going to be able to pay up for the elite guys like Brown, Bell, and so on, get a pretty expensive quarterback in Wentz, and pay for Ertz too. And that's the only thing that concerns me. And I don't think I would want to go Ertz at the expense of playing, you know, one of the super safe elite guys like Brown and Bell. So I love Ertz. It's a little expensive. I really hope that I get to see him in my lineups too.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. It's just a price play at this point. I don't think you can go there on DraftKings. It's too expensive at 7,000, where the tight end is typically the cheaper position that you end up rostering. Sometimes two tight ends in that flex, or one tight end in the flex position as well as the regular tight end position. So where tight ends are already coming very cheap over there, I just don't think you can really do it. It's going to be close for me on FanDuel because some of the other guys you get, like I wrote up Hunter Henry as the second guy here. Henry has clearly supplanted Antonio Gates as the pass catching tight end. Like, it's multiple weeks in a row where he's out 2-1 outsnapped them, or even more. So I think the Antonio Gates thing is pretty much over. It's all Hunter Henry now. He gets that same matchup as Keenan Allen. Do you feel comfortable paying down? He's also not in that. He's not completely in the cheap realm, but only 5,500 on FanDuel. I think I can get behind the fact that they have kind of targeted him in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think I like Henry. He served us pretty well in the weeks that we've played him. I think, you know, he's kind of matchup dependent. But this is kind of like exactly what I was saying. I don't think that there is an equivalent to Hunter Henry located at any of the other positions. I think the fact that he's 5,500, like, just to go try to find me another wide receiver at 5,500 whose worst game on the season is 9 fantasy points. I don't think you can do it. And the fact that he's a red zone target, the fact that he's pretty well locked into these, you know, 7-8 targets a game outside of the one pretty bad game against Denver. But again, every pass catcher is bad against Denver. I think that you have a pretty favorable spot for him here. So yeah, realistically, you know, Ertz is my reach school. If I can get Ertz, I'll get Ertz. If I have to settle for Henry, I'll go there and party a lot and hopefully come out with a 3.2 GPA or something.
And there's plenty of other guys in this kind of price range as well. Ed Dixon is there. Cameron Brait. It's always hard to pick one of these guys because they all kind of exist in the same sort of zone. So Safarian Jenkins is a guy, although his prices come up to 6,300 on FanDuel, probably a little too expensive. So my car fully warmed up. I was all going now. I parked
now
with my
stalled out in an intersection. Yep.
Exactly. Now everyone's honking at me from behind as I can't get moving through the red light. All right, DFSR. I'm just gonna end this. DFSR.com/NBA will get you that free 3-day trial to the projection system. We're talking about optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Go check it out. Free for 3 days, and then $29.95 a month after that, and you're all good to go. All right, buddy, we are going to be back again on Friday doing a full game-by-game breakdown, taking a look at all the games, some of the injury news that crops up over the week, some of the more specific matchups for every game in the NFL. Also, make sure you go and check out our NBA podcast as well. We're recording that 3 to 4 times a week. Love talking NBA this time of year, so go check that out. Subscribe to that on iTunes. Buddy, talk to you again on Friday when we're talking more football.
You bet.